Since we'd be happy to respond to those, maybe while we're enjoying that good food. Appreciate your kind attention. Show those pictures over and over and over again. Showed them this morning up in northern Iowa. Never get tired of it. In fact, we get homesick. And months from tomorrow, we're heading back. And ask the kids if they're eager to go back. They'll tell you what's on their hearts. But I know that they'll respond positively. They love it. That's their home. They grew up out there. Their friends are there. And God's been good to allow us to be there. You know, so many people go through a lot of trials in life, don't they? Some of you are going through trials in life. Sometimes it concerns health. Oftentimes it concerns health. Finances. I met a man yesterday. He's been out of a job since 2002. Things are rough sometimes. There's trials concerning friendships, families, churches. Many people around the world going through persecution. Regardless of the difficulty, regardless of the trial or the sorrow, we have a Savior who is with us. He has promised us, Hebrews 13:5 and elsewhere, that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You know, when the Lord saves us, He comes to live inside of us. He sends His Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it seems like every Christian is either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. And I'm so thankful when the Savior saved me. It didn't just say, "All right, Tom Needham, your sins are washed away. You're on your way to heaven. I'm heading up there. I'm just going to wait. I hope you make it." I'm glad He didn't save me that way. I'm glad He said, "When you trust Me as your Savior, I'm going to give you a Comforter. I'm going to live within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I never forsake you." And He's proven that to be true in my life. He's proven that to be true in many of your lives. We have a Savior who was with us. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. The Lord Jesus tells Matthew 11:28, and we are coming to John 15. Hang on. He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is salvation available to everyone. The Lord Jesus will take away your burden of sin and give you everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." The children of Israel in the wilderness sinned greatly through their murmuring and complaining. And at one time the Lord sent fiery serpents to punish them, and many died. But God showed His mercy. And He showed them how to be saved from the serpents. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Those in the wilderness who refused to look upon the brazen serpent died. Those who looked, lived. "Look unto Me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else," Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 45:22. And then, of course, John chapter 3 tells us about Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. Verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." How sad, yet how true it is that to be lost, a person does not have to do anything. You don't have to be a murderer or a thief or an adulterer or a drunkard to be proud or selfish. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" People go to hell not because of the great crimes they have committed, although we have all committed great crimes. But they go to hell because of refusing to receive the free gift of salvation, which Jesus Christ paid for with the price of His own shed blood as He hung on the cross for you and me. Likewise, people do not go to heaven because of their good lives and their good works and their involvement in church and other good things. No. We can only go to heaven on the basis of the finished, saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The gospel is being sent around the world from this faithful local church. You look up and see the missionaries you folks are supporting. It's tremendous. At the same time, as you well know, there's people right here in southwest Iowa who are as lost as a heathen, as lost as a Muslim, people who are in great need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you happen to be here this evening and do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, what a blessing. You can be sure tonight. Just like that night 30 years ago when I trusted Christ, I was sure. I remember in that missionary Bible study, my wife and I heard the doctrine of eternal security for the first time we had ever heard that. Our mouths literally dropped open. We'd never heard anything so sweet and wonderful that when Christ saves, He saves. When He gives us eternal life, it does last forever. Amen. If there is someone here tonight, maybe you're young, maybe not so young, Pastor Springer would love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. You know, the 71 verses, as I counted them up, in the four Gospels, which talk of following the Lord Jesus. What a marvelous thing to know the Lord as Savior and to follow Him wherever He goes. It is an eternal privilege to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He has called us to follow Him. He wants us to follow Him. A couple of examples, Matthew 4:19, He saith to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Luke 9:23, He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." John 8:12, "He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." During the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, the words He primarily used when speaking of the relationship of the disciples to Himself were, "Follow Me," 71 times. However, on the eve of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, He gave the new words to describe the intimate personal communion of the disciples with Himself. He said, "Abide in Me," John chapter 50. We'll come to that in a moment. I'd like to ask my daughters to come up and sing, and then we'll take just a few minutes and take a look at that. Thank you, girls. know, I get spend a lot of time with these young ladies. They really believe that. They've been a tremendous encouragement to me. John chapter 15. Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to bless. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless your word this evening. Thank you for these people who are eager to serve you, to love you. Father, may we know more about what it means to abide in Christ tonight. In thy name we pray. Amen. Beginning in verse number 4, John 15, verse number 4. Abide in me. Yes, good. Thanks. Pastor, you got these folks trained right. I like that. I often ask people to stand when we read God's Word. In fact, since you're standing, let's just read out loud together verse number 4 down to verse 11. John 15, 4 through 11. Let's read together. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that the joy might be full. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Probably you took note of the number of times that the word abide is mentioned in these verses. You see it in verse number 4, 3 different times in verse number 4. You see it in verse number 5. You see it in verse number 6. You see it twice in verse number 7. You see it in verse number 9, although the word abide is not there, but the Greek word translated abide is translated continue, and that's part of the definition of abide, which is to dwell, to continue, to remain. Verse number 10, you see the word abide twice. And in verse number 11, you see the word remain. Also, the very word abide translated in this verse as remain. What a blessing. You know, there are many earnest, genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to whom the meaning of this phrase, abide in me, is hidden. They have been convicted of their sin. Their faith has been placed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Their eternal salvation is secure. They are children of God. They're born again. They're saved and on their way to heaven. Yet, they have not realized the call, the invitation of the Lord Jesus to abide in me. To abide in Christ is a step of faith. It is a response to an invitation from Jesus Christ to abide with Him and He with you. To abide in Christ by faith means you take Him at His word. You enter into a close relationship of absolute trust, as the girl sang, for He is able to be trusted. I can let you down. Anyone else can let you down, but our Lord Jesus never lets us down. He is able to be trusted. And so enter into this relationship of absolute trust. You remain with Him by faith. You yield your life. You yield your decisions. You yield your will. You yield your faith unto Him. If we are abiding in Christ, the Bible says we'll enjoy great fulfillment of promises in our lives. This passage we just read, we didn't read the first three verses of John 15, but verse 1 says, your Father will be your husbandman. He will care for you if you're abiding in Christ. Verses 2 and 4 says we will bear fruit and more fruit. Verse 3 says we will be clean through the Word. Verse 5 says we will bear much fruit. Verse 6 says we will avoid unfruitfulness and uselessness. Verse 7 says you will have your prayers answered. And verse 11 says your joy will be full as we abide in Christ. Now turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, Psalm 91. It is an Old Testament parallel passage of John 15, where it also speaks of abiding. One of these psalms, when I read it, I just have to stop and really think through this one because it is so dear and so precious. Verse number 1, Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In the Old Testament, definition of abide is essentially exactly the same as the New Testament. It means to lodge habitually, to remain, to dwell. Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." The richness of these promises are for those who abide with Christ. No matter your trial, and we all have our trials, no matter your danger, no matter your fears, no matter your worry, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior tonight and are abiding in Him, you can say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I make a conscious faith decision to trust." Charles Spurgeon noted concerning these two verses, he said, "The blessings promised here are not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with God." He said, "Every child of God looks toward the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat, yet not all dwell in the most holy place. They may run to it at times and enjoy occasional approaches, but they do not habitually reside in the secret presence of Christ." We've often heard the phrase, true Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. It is a relationship based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us. Everywhere we go in Cameroon, we face the futile and the wicked substitute of the works-based religions. The Muslims must try to fulfill the false teachings of Muhammad. Animistic pagans try to protect themselves from the wrath of their ancestral spirits by trying to appease them through ritual sacrifices. The Catholics are imprisoned by a false sacramental system. The Pentecostals have false teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit and the security of the believer. And the Protestants and many, unfortunately, compromised Baptists try to do their best to be accepted by God through a works-based righteousness. But the Bible says, brethren, Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." We Christians are not trying to establish our own righteousness, but we receive His by faith. "For He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Oh, what a glorious salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful personal Savior who says on the basis of His righteousness in us, "Abide in Me." We have a friend who invites us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We can say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." When you abide in Christ by faith, you can trust Him, you can count on Him. You can count on Him to, Psalm 91 verse 3, "deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." You can trust Him, verse 4, "to cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." When you abide in Christ by faith, verse 7, "a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, thy dwelling place. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash a foot against a stone." As we trust in Him. The picture that we showed you of the children with those John 3:16 posters, that happens to be at a remote airstrip that a couple of our evangelists with some help from the village people went and just carved out the side of a mountain. There's no level land in that whole valley. It's a narrow valley, and the airstrip actually is 160 feet higher on one end than it is on the other, equivalent to a 16-story building. I mean, it just goes up like that. You land, you go uphill, you take off going down. When we take off that airstrip, at the beginning there's kind of a dip and it goes down and up again, then on down and out you go. Kind of fun. Sometimes, but when I get ready to take off, I can't even see over the front of the airplane, so I park kind of kitty-cornered so I can see down the runway, make sure everything's clear, no cows, no people, no obstructions. Then I straighten up the airplane, and I cannot see the runway. There's a tree on the other side of the valley that I take sight on that tree, and that's what I look at to make sure I'm going down the middle of the runway when I can't see in front of me. We do an excellent job of maintaining the aircraft. God has provided some mechanics that come out voluntarily to help us maintain the airplane. We put good fuel in it. We know that when the engine turns, it turns a propeller, and the aerodynamics are such that when the air goes over the wings, it flies. Everything, we know that when I push that throttle forward, that airplane's going to fly. But it comes to a point when you make a decision. Yes, everything's safe. It's ready to go. And, that airstrip is so short and steep that there's either going to be a takeoff or an accident. There's no bailing out halfway through. And so you push forward that throttle, release the brakes, and it's a conscious faith decision. At that moment in time, boom, up you go. To abide in Christ and to trust Him, taking Him at His word, it's that same thing, only much more sure. That engine could fail, the wing could fall off, things could happen with the airplane, but with Christ, He will never fail. It's impossible for Him to fail in His promises. We can absolutely trust Him when you know, according to the Word of God, what to do that's right, and you act upon that in faith, you can have absolute confidence that will be borne up by Him. It says, verse 13, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." Verse 15, "He shall call upon me." The Lord promises to answer prayer. Don't ever pray in doubt. I've done that before. He's rebuked me for that. We can trust Him. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." What a glorious Savior. He answers me when I call upon him. He goes through trouble with me. He delivers me and he honors me. Do you believe that? What a precious Savior who abides in me and I in Him. He satisfies me. He gives me life abundant. He shows me His salvation. And He is with me to help us and to answer our prayers. A while back, driving along an African road there just after dark, three of the people in the car with me came around a bend and down a hill, and I saw something which just, it shocked me, but I knew exactly what it was. It was a bunch of big old chunks of firewood completely blocking the road. I knew that was a technique of thieves. I knew that we were about to be attacked. As I came to a stop, a big chunk of firewood came flying out of the tall grass and boom, hit the front doorpost, went skidding across the windshield. Apparently it was trying to break the windshield. It made such a noise, I really thought for a moment that we'd been shot. As I sat there with my foot on the brake and illuminating behind the car, I saw several men blocking off behind us. There was, in fact, seven men there getting ready to attack us, rob us, whatever. Immediately I stopped. I just said, "Father, we need your help." I told the other men in the car, "When they come up here, there's more of them than us. We can't resist them. They're probably armed. We will give them what they ask for." And I began to roll down my window because I didn't want them busting the window out. They might as well just, minimize the damage there. But we sat there trusting in the Lord. And you know what happened? We waited and we waited. And those seven people disappeared. There was no other vehicles around, no other people around, no noise of a vehicle or something coming over the hill. They just had us trapped. And God just showed up. And not that He has to show up. He's always there. But He did something to this day. I don't know what happened other than the Lord protected us. There's a man by the name of Alhaji Baba, a very wealthy Muslim man who has a large cattle ranch and tea plantation just about 3 miles from where we live. And had an opportunity to meet with him about 15 years ago. And he told me that we're welcome in Cameroon. He said, "Just don't ever convert any of our people." And I said, "Well, the Lord sent me here to teach the Word of God, and God chooses to use that to save a soul. There's nothing you or I can do to stop that." Well, he didn't like that response, and he warned me to stay off his ranch. And a lot of people live up in that ranch. I wanted to go up there and evangelize them. But he told me to stay off his ranch, so I did. There's lots of other places we can go. I'm not looking for trouble. And he's been responsible for the imprisonment, even the deaths of a number of people. Apparently was behind some attempts to get us ejected from the country of Cameroon, and I won't go into details on that, but some very trying times that we have gone through. Well, about less than a year ago, he sent word to me he wanted to see me up at his ranch. Well, I was kind of hesitant to go. We've been praying for him all these years, Lord, change his heart or take him out of the way. That's been my prayer all these years. Change his heart or take him out of the way. I have to confess, I was kind of leaning towards the second one. And I didn't go. I just didn't want to go. He sent word a second time, and the Lord began to work on me, and I realized, you know, could be the Lord is answering prayer through this. So we loaded up the car with the family and some others. We went up there. He invited us into his mansion. It's a mansion. I mean, his living room was at least as big as this auditorium. You could play basketball in there. And sat down and welcomed us. He says, you know, I've had a misunderstanding about you. And, you know, I told you to stay off my ranch. You stayed off my ranch. Shows that you're not looking for trouble. He says, I just want you to know that, you know, I don't want to have any problems between us anymore. And I was glad to hear that. And then he asked me a question. He says, I've always wondered, just why are you here anyway? What brought you to Cameroon? I love it when people ask me that question. And so I told him, I'm here to preach the gospel. And I told him what the gospel was, and he listened. In fact, he listened so intently, I showed him some verses in the scripture. He came over and actually put on his reading glasses, sat next to me, and is going through the verses with me, showing a genuine interest, a genuine openness. And then he told me, he says, you know something, you're welcome to come to my ranch anytime you want to, and you can preach the gospel as much as you want. But he says, it won't do you any good to preach to the Muslims. They're a hard bunch. They're not going to get saved. I said, sir, you might be the first one. And he looked at me kind of funny, but he said, no, you're welcome to come. And I'd like to say he got saved that day. I'm trusting God will one day save him. We're going to keep on witnessing to him. But a couple of months ago, not even that long, another missionary out in Cameroon that we work with actually went up to that ranch in response to that invitation and took some our Cameroon preachers up there, and they preached the gospel. We were able to lead some people right at the gate to his compound up there. And God just intervened and answers prayer. I got several other examples, but we're out of time. But you know, when you're abiding in Christ, you can trust Him to protect you. You can trust Him to go before you in every one of the trials that you're facing today. He has opened up so many doors of opportunity for us in Cameroon. He's dealt with issues in our family, issues with others. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. We have, as believers tonight, responded to Christ's invitation to come unto Him and be saved. As believers, we have the opportunity to respond to His invitation to abide in Him and receive the promises that He has for those who will yield unto Him. Pastor, thank you for having us here tonight.